To begin with, I want us to read several portions of Scripture. Let's begin with the 8th chapter of Matthew. Here in the 8th chapter of Matthew, the Word of God says concerning the centurion who came on the behalf of his servant, you know, and who was sick. And, we'll just start reading the 5th verse. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, "My servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus saith unto him, "I will come and heal him." And the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." I just simply want you to mark those two words, great faith. Now turn right on over to the 14th chapter of Matthew. And you remember here, Jesus came unto the disciples in the night walking on the water. When they saw him, they thought it was a ghost, and they were afraid. Jesus said, "It's I, be not afraid." And Peter said, "If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And the scripture tells us that Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sink, and he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, that's this, I want you to notice this particular 31st verse. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now I want you to underline those two words, little faith. Little faith. Amen. Then I want you to turn to the 4th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter. And we'll start reading with the 36th verse. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Now I want you to underline those two words, no faith. Then I want you to turn to Romans, the 4th chapter. Here, writing concerning Abraham, you'll notice the 19th verse says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised is able also to perform." Now, underline the two words, weak faith. And then in the next verse, the 19th verse, and then the 20th verse, underline the two words, strong faith. Strong faith. Then finally, I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, 1st chapter, the 3rd verse. 2 Thessalonians, 1st chapter, 3rd verse. "We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity or love of every one of you toward each other aboundeth." Now underline these words, faith groweth. Those two words, faith groweth. We have been studying a series of lessons on the 7 most important things that you ought to know about divine healing. Now, number one, we've already covered this, so I'll just barely mention it and go on. I have a purpose in mentioning it because I'm going to come back to this scripture. That is that it is God's will to heal and God's will to heal you, because healing is in the redemptive plan of God. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 said, "Surely he hath borne our sickness, carried our pains." King James said, "Surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows." The Hebrew words here, and remember the Old Testament is originally written in Hebrew. The Hebrew here, the original scriptures read, "Surely he hath borne our sickness, carried our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes we're healed." Matthew 8:17, "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And so that's the first thing you need to know about divine healing, that it's God's will because it's in his plan of redemption for us. The second most important thing is you need to know where sickness comes from. That is that Satan is the author of sickness and disease and not God. Acts 10:38 said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. All those that Jesus healed, the multitudes as well as the individuals, the Bible said were oppressed of the devil. Then the New Testament, remember that the Bible is progressive revelation. You have revelation in the New Testament that you don't have in the Old Testament. The Bible teaches us that sickness is satanic oppression. In Luke, the 13th chapter, in the 16th verse, Jesus said concerning the woman who was healed in the synagogue on the Sabbath, whose body was bowed together, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan is bound?" She had a physical condition. Her body was bowed together. She could in no wise lift herself up. Jesus called this physical malady being bound by Satan. He said, "Whom Satan is bound though these 18 years, ought not she, because she's a daughter of Abraham, to be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Then again, of course, in John 10:10, Jesus said himself, "The thief is come but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come," hallelujah, "that you might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Then in 1 John 3:8, it tells us that the purpose that the Son of God was manifested was that he might destroy the works of the devil. And of course, we think about sin, but right on the other hand, the previous verse we read said he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, leading us to believe or telling us that sickness and disease is also of the devil. Then the third most important thing that you ought to know about healing is that God dealt with sickness in the Old Testament as well as the New. You see, the Old Testament is type and shadow for us. And we read any number of scriptures where God said to Israel, "You walk in my statutes, keep my commandments, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you, and the number of your days you will fulfill." Well, he evidently didn't want them sick then, did he? Amen. Isn't that right? Well, if God didn't want his people sick then, you suppose he wants his people sick now? Well, the Bible said God doesn't change. So if he wants his people sick now and he didn't want them sick then he's changed and the Bible's a lie. Amen. Isn't that true? But God doesn't change. Not even a shadow of turning with him. And of course, we come over into the New Testament and we see that, of course, the healing was provided for us. Now, healing is ours. Let's come to the fourth most important thing you ought to know about healing. That is, how are you going to receive it? How is it going to become real to you? By what method? By what means? Well, now, first of all, of course, we read these scriptures here from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, the 4th and 5th verses. And then we read also Matthew 8:17, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." And then we read from 1 Peter 2:24, the latter clause, "By whose stripes ye were," not going to be, "were healed." Now then, right here, I'm going back to my scriptures I read about faith to you. I wanted you to see something. Here Jesus speaks of one person of having great faith. He speaks of another person who was one of his closest followers of having a little faith. The Word of God speaks about weak faith. We read it. The Word of God speaks about strong faith. The Word of God speaks about no faith. And yet these were Christ's disciples when he said, "How is it you have no faith?" That just simply means that on that occasion they didn't have faith. And then we read about faith growing. So your faith can grow. Therefore, faith is measurable. It can be little or great. It can be weak or strong. Amen. The Word of God said also, we didn't read it, but the Word of God said also about Stephen in the 6th chapter of Acts that he was full of faith. Well, now all of those believers had faith because it's all saved, so they had saving faith, but they might not be full of it. Now, I want you to see something here, that faith has something to do with healing. I want you to see that in some form or fashion. Now, first of all, this centurion came to Jesus on the behalf of his servant who had the palsy and was grievously tormented. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The man immediately said, Master, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just speak the word only and my servant will be healed. I'm a man under authority. I say to this man, go, you know, because he had soldiers under him. He goes, say to this and come. Say to this servant, do this. He does it. And so if you'll notice, a little later, we didn't read that part. We just stopped there where he said to those around about him, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus said to the man, then go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Now, I want you to see something about great faith. Notice what the man said. Just speak the word only. You don't have to come. You don't have to lay hands on him. You don't have to be there in person. Nobody has to come. Nobody has to lay hands upon him. Just the word sufficient for me. Hallelujah. So then the first and foremost, but it takes great faith, takes more faith, you see, for people to be healed is just simply to know that himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, that by his stripes we were healed. Praise God. Are you following me? Now, that's great faith, you see. That's all we need is just his word. Well, I believe that's the best method of all. And yet everybody doesn't have great faith, so everybody may not be able to get healed on that basis. But you see, here in these scriptures is absolute fact that by his stripes we are healed. Absolute fact, by whose stripes ye were healed. These scriptures prove to us that healing is ours. So we don't have to have anybody lay hands upon us. We don't have to turn in a prayer request. We don't have to be anointed with oil. We simply know that by his stripes we're healed. And so we thank God the Father for our perfect deliverance. And it's not even necessary for us to pray. Praise God. Or to ask the Father. Because we know that he said, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's a fact. And so, thank God, we're free. All we need to do is to recognize and accept that fact. We refuse then to allow disease in our body. We're healed. Every believer should thoroughly understand that his healing was consummated in Christ. It would mean the end of chronic troubles in the body of the believer if he knew that. Now, that's God's best. We have to preach God's best. But now everybody's not there in faith. We understand that. But we have to preach it because if you didn't know about it, you never would get there. Praise God. Amen. Isn't that right? But now that takes great faith. It takes more faith to be healed that way than it does with some of these other methods. You'll notice what the centurion said. Speak the word only. I don't have to have you to come to my house. I don't have to have you to literally be present in my home. I don't have to have you to lay hands upon my servant. I don't have to have you to anoint with oil. I don't have to have anybody else to pray, the disciples or anybody. Just speak the word. In other words, your word's enough. Can you see that? Can you see that? Jesus said, I've not found so great faith. See, that's great faith. Hallelujah. Well, if you're not there right yet, don't bemoan the situation. Hook on to one of these other methods. But keep in mind, I'm going to get there. Glory to God. Amen. And keep growing and keep developing. Now then, again, I want you to notice this, that the Word of God teaches us that if you need help, you can get somebody to agree with you. You know, Matthew 18:19, this is another method, said, if two of you shall agree. Well, if you can't do it by yourself, get somebody to help you. Praise God. If two of you, Matthew 18:19 said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they ask. Well, anything could include healing, couldn't it? It would, wouldn't it? I said, wouldn't it? Amen. So, see, it doesn't have to be a minister of the gospel. Doesn't have to be a prophet or an apostle or a pastor or a teacher. Just anyone that'll agree, a fellow member of the body of Christ, if two of you shall agree. You see, two are more powerful than one. The Bible tells us that one will put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000 to flight. So if you have to, praise God, if you have to. See, you don't have to, necessarily. But if you're not to that place where you can just act on God's word alone, well, get somebody to agree with you. Dr. Hicks tells one time here in one of the seminars when he was here, that, he noticed for several days his wife was, she's having a problem physically. It's quite obvious. She hadn't said anything, hadn't asked him to pray. Finally, about the third day, he just said to her, honey, you need any help? You want me to agree? Well, yeah. And so the moment they agreed, she just almost immediately, all right. She was exercising her faith to the limit, to the ability she had. But he could see, that she needed a little help. So we as believers ought to be out to help one another if necessary. Amen. Isn't that right? Then just add your faith to the other fellow's faith. Bless God. And that's another method of obtaining results and obtaining healing from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Well, of course, closely connected to that is prayer. God does hear and answer prayer. And you remember this there in James, and we'll hook two of them together here now. James 5:14 and 15, and then we'll bring 16 in now. Said, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anoint all in the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith shall save the sick or heal the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sin, it shall be forgiven him. Now, notice this. That this is really, and you have to realize that when these letters were written, that the church was in a babyhood state of development. Now, we'll come back to that verse in Thessalonians. Paul said to them, your faith groweth, so faith can grow. If your faith hasn't grown to the place where you can just act on Isaiah 53:4-5, Matthew 8:17, 1 Peter 2:24 for yourself, if your faith hadn't grown to that place as yet, and the only way it would grow, and the reason it hasn't many times, folks haven't heard faith preached, you see, and divine healing preached as it should be. And so if your faith hasn't grown, get somebody to agree with you, because you couldn't always maybe get a pastor. You see, actually, and we'll not go into that because it's another subject right now, but when he said elders here, if you'll study the New Testament closely, you'll find that the elder, the overseer, the bishop, is all the pastoral office. If I had time, I could prove that to you by scripture from the New Testament. First of all, New Testament is written in Greek, and the same Greek words that are translated overseer is also translated bishop. Same, identically the same Greek word. And then you'll notice this, that Paul said to the elders, 20th chapter of Acts, to the elders of the church at Ephesus, feed the church of God over which the Holy Ghost has made you bishops or overseers. Well, who has the oversight of a flock? The shepherd does. The same Greek word translated shepherd is translated pastor. So without going any further, that's enough right there. I can give you some other scripture that proves to you that the elders, you see, it's very unscriptural to take businessmen and laymen and put them in the office of an elder. Absolutely true. They have no anointing to fill that office of overseer. There's an anointing goes with it. People are anointed and put into offices by the Holy Ghost, not by man. Well, let him call for the elder's church. But see, you might not always be able to get a hold of an overseer or a bishop or a pastor. Or one who has the oversight, you see, of the flock. So if two of you can agree, and you can, thank God. Or the other method, call for the elder of the church. Let them pray over him, knowing the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith to save the sick, the Lord shall raise him up. Hallelujah. And if he committed sins, shall be forgiven. But you know, that's not all. Read the next verse. Read the next verse. Confess your faults one to another. This is talking about laymen now in the church. And pray ye one for another. That's just talking about everybody, isn't it? I'm just talking about people, not elders, not pastors, not preachers, not apostles, not prophets. Pray one for another that you may be healed. So it's scriptural to pray for one another. I said it's scriptural to pray for one another, isn't it? That you may be healed. For what purpose? That you may be healed. That would be another method. You see, now bear in mind that we've already given you the best and great faith. And if your faith is up to the place that it can be called great, then you can just take healing on your own. You don't need anybody's prayer, mine, anybody else's, even one another praying for you. What did he say? Your word's sufficient. Just speak the word. My servant will be healed. Hallelujah. I've not found so great faith. See? But if your faith's not there, well, don't moan and groan about it. Bless God, drop back down here to one of these other levels. Get somebody to agree with you. Get the saints to pray one for another. Get the elders to anoint with you all. See, these are four or five different methods here. Jesus himself said, you know, in that day, talking about the day we're living in John 16, 23 and 24, in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive. Glory to God, that your joy may be full. So every believer ought to know that they have the right to ask God, their Heavenly Father, for healing or any other blessing that he's promised. And if he asks in the name of Jesus, he's got an absolute guarantee of the answer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then another thing is, we need to realize this. Here's another method. We need to realize this, that Jesus said, and we'll hook both of these together now. Jesus said, told us that we had a right to use his name. You remember there in John 14, the 11th, 12th verse, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Now notice the next verse. If you'll ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That's simply by using the name of Jesus. You know, like Peter at the gate called Beautiful. You know, he didn't pray for that man. Remember the crippled man, the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, the third chapter? Peter and John didn't pray for that man. They didn't anoint him with oil. They didn't lay hands on the fellow. They said, such as I have, give I thee. The man's begging alms. He looked on them and asked for an alms. Peter fast his eyes on him, said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Well, what does he have? Well, first he's got the name of Jesus. Glory to God, doesn't he? He has the name of Jesus. Now then, remember all these scriptures I read to you on faith. This notice here now. Peter said, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now notice a little later on in that chapter, Peter said, when the people gathered together, the man was healed, you know that, went into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And when the crowd ran together, Peter said, why look on us? Why look on us as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? Notice the 16th verse. He said, in his name, Acts 3:16, and his name. What did this? What caused this healing? What created it? What method? How did it come about? And his name. Well, just the name of Jesus? No, notice what it said. Through faith in his name. There's that word faith again. Faith in what? His name. See, people use the name of Jesus very often, but they don't have any faith in it.
That's right. It's
just words. It's just words. I think maybe they think the name of Jesus is sort of like a rabbit foot or a horseshoe. You know, hanging up over the door and have good luck. Amen. Carry a rabbit foot around with me, you know, for good luck, you know. Here's a good luck piece. You carry that, you know. Amen. Well, the name of Jesus sounded like that. It sounded like a good luck charm. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. No. No. You see, you don't have any faith in it, so it don't work. And his name, through faith in his name, hallelujah, has made this man strong. Glory to God. So we have the right in the name of Jesus to demand our deliverance. Now, notice also in connection with the name of Jesus, another method of ministering healing, which is laying on of hands. Remember Jesus said in Mark 16:18. Well, Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name. In my name. Now the 18th verse said one of the signs is they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That belongs to all believers. That belongs to all believers. Amen. Now then, another method, of course, of obtaining healing through the Word of God, we're talking about through the Word of God, is, of course, that the Lord manifests himself through gifts of healings, through working of miracles, through what we call spiritual gifts or spiritual manifestations. Now, I want you to notice something about this now. They operate by the sovereignty of God. I can't operate them. They may be manifested through me, but I can't operate them. Sure, I've been there when they were manifested through me. And if it's me doing it, I'd do it every service. That's the reason you don't put it in your power to do it. Because you may miss it. Because you don't know. God knows all things. Well, now, notice in that fourth, we're going to come back to that illustration now. The fourth chapter of Mark we read there. Jesus had got into the little boat with his disciples to cross the Sea of Galilee over to Capernaum. And he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. And then he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. There arose a great storm of wind. Now the waves beat into the ship. And they awaken him. Now notice this. They awaken him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, just on his own, not because of their faith. He arose and rebuked the wind and said, peace be still. And there was a great calm. And then he rebuked them and said to them, why are you so fearful? Now get this. How is it that you have no faith? Yeah, you know, the Lord will work sometimes when there's no faith. Did you get that? They didn't have any faith. He said they didn't he? I mean, he worked a miracle, didn't he? That's working a miracle, you see. The storm ceased. Immediately there was a great calm. Amen. You'll find that God will initiate healings on his own. And they'll work where there is no faith. Amen. But now don't sit around and wait for that to happen, because it may happen and it may not happen. Nobody has a guarantee, because you could die while you're waiting. Get up and move on the word of God. Bless God and receive the blessing from the Lord. Well, now, just why do things like that happen anyway when there's no faith, when folks didn't even necessarily expect to get healed? Of course, they weren't opposed to it or anything. Well, you see, God knows the future better than you do. He knows the future better than you know the past. So you can go back in the past and know what happened, don't you? But he even knows the future better than you know the past. Because you may forget something that happened till somebody reminds you of it and said, oh, yeah, I forgot that. And there's some things you'd want to forget anyway, don't you? Some things you wish you could forget about the past, don't you? Amen. But he knows the future. Why don't we just leave those things in God's hands and say, thank God he knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord. Now, if nothing is initiated, if the Holy Ghost doesn't initiate on anything on your behalf, though, you don't have to wait for something. Bless God, know what the Bible said. You see, and very often God won't initiate anything for you because you know. He expects you to walk in light of what you know. Amen. See, he doesn't want you to be a baby. You know, you wouldn't think anything at all of somebody here with a baby or a small child holding them in their arms or rocking them. But you can take this usher right here. What if his mother's here and he's sitting in the lap, you know, on her, patting him, you know, feeding him a bottle? You'd say that awful. Grown man, never did develop mentally. See, the same thing true spiritually. Well, thank God for manifestations of the Holy Ghost. I tell about it. I've had many of them, hundreds. If you put them all together, I guess even thousands through the years of similar incidents. But when you go to think about it, those most outstanding ones come too, you know. I tell about sometime preaching down in East Texas in the country church way back in August of 1950. Out in the country, the country church. Buildings full, people standing around, they just couldn't get in. I mean, you look out through the front doors of the church, you know, it's wide open, the windows, and people's looking in every window, and there's like a sea of faces out there. See, there's lights outside there. Just as far back as you can see. Look like there's more people outside the building than was inside the building. I remember on another occasion I was preaching a meeting in August 1952 in one of the little old town, actually it's a county seat of one of the counties there in East Texas, and the building was full, people looking every window. I came in a back door, and way back there I had to climb through people, 20 people deep, to get in. One of the deputy sheriffs, at the same time they were having a county fair, deputy sheriff came by and said, y'all got more people up here on the church grounds and in church and on the church grounds than they have down there at the county fair. Amen. Reading this up there, miracles were happening, praise God. People's being healed, delivered, set free. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Amen. Well, you know, the word of the Lord came unto me. See, this is a manifestation of the Spirit. I didn't think it up. If I'd have thought it, I wouldn't have done it, because it wouldn't work just because I thought it. But the word of God came to me. Said, there's a sinner man standing outside this church building looking at you right through those doors. Told me exactly what was wrong with him physically. tell him to come in here and you'll lay hands on him, he'll be healed instantly. Well, I just spoke that out. Well, like I said, I just saw a sea of men's faces. Somebody told me later on that the man is standing out there smoking a cigarette. And he throwed it down and came in when I said that, because this was what was wrong with him. And he is instantly healed. 3 days later, he got saved. Well, now, how come God to do that? See, folks say, well, now, how come God to save that, heal that sinner fella? Here's a nice saint inside the church, you know, had the same thing, didn't even get healed. Well, they could have believed God. They knew more, more expectant. But then God knows the future again. I closed the meeting out and left, oh, I guess 10 or 12 years later. I was preaching in Houston, Texas. Young man came to him. This fellow was a man somewhere in his 40s that got saved. He had one of his sons, 19-year-old boy. This fellow came, shook hands with me. Now then, of course, 10 or 12 years, 29-year-old man now. Said, you remember me? I said, wait a minute. Your face looked familiar. Yeah, and I called his name. I said, you're one of the Baker boys. Yeah, yeah. I said, whatever happened to your daddy? You know, I remember he got healed, got saved then, and I laid hands on him, got baptized. Oh, well, he said, didn't you know? I said, no, I know. He said, he's been an ordained Assembly of God minister for a number of years now. See, God knew what he's doing. I mean, how come God just reach out there and grab old Saul of Tarsus? Man, that guy's going down there almost cussing. He's breathing out threatenings. Breathing out threatenings against the church and against people in that way. Putting them in jail. Both men and women, wasn't he? Suddenly there shined a light around about him, brighter than a noonday sun. The voice from heaven spoke and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. Boy, that turned him around, didn't he? Well, he knows what he's doing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's stay open to those things. Now, see, you don't have to be healed by that method. You just can if God wills. Whether he will or not, I don't know. Nobody knows. But we're open to the Spirit of God. But now, thank God, God's word works. These signs are following them to believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and shall recover. Very closely associated with laying on of hands, you see. Laying on of hands for healing can be practiced from a twofold standpoint. That is, number one, any believer, because these signs are following, believe, any believer can lay hands on people in faith. But then, right on the other hand, one can be anointed by the Holy Ghost to lay hands on people. Yes. You see. Then he lay hands on people in obedience to a spiritual law, the law of contact and transmission. Where one is anointed with healing power, then the contact of his hands transmits God's healing power to the body of the sick. I remember when the Lord appeared to me in 1950 in that first vision, laid the finger of his right hand, the palm of each one of my hands. The moment again, the palms of my hands began to burn, just like I was holding a coal of fire in them. Now, that's a strange thing. You'll understand it, though, if you understand it. I've been preaching all this time. Never had it. The minute I told you about that, the minute I mentioned it, just now, palms of my hands started burning. Just like I was holding a coal of fire. You almost wanted to reach up there and start rubbing, trying to get a little relief burn. So, see? Up till then, I hadn't felt a thing. So he laid the finger of his right hand upon each one of my hands. My hands began to burn like I was holding a coal of fire. And he said, kneel before me, and I knelt before him. And he laid his hand on my head and said, I've called thee. Well, he didn't mean he just called me then. He'd called me before. And have anointed thee. Didn't mean he just anointed me then. I've been anointed before the minute. But now then it says, given thee a special anointing. That applied to what just then happened. Given unto thee a special anointing to minister to the sick. Then he said, stand up right on your feet. And I stood up on my feet. He said, you understand this isn't the only way to minister to the sick. I said, I know that. We talked about different methods and ways of ministering that we'd ministered through the years. However, he said, this is the primary way that you are to minister. Now, primary way means this is the principal way. I may minister other ways. Once in a while I do. But what he's telling me, from this time on, this, with this anointing, is the primary, the principal way that you are to minister. Primary, look the word up in the dictionary. Primary means also first in line or in order. In other words, this is always first in line or in order with me. Now, somebody else might be used a different way, so therefore they'd emphasize another method because that's the primary way they're to minister. That's first in line with them. Now, then notice something that he said to me. However, he said to me, this anointing will not work. Well, we don't want it to not work. We want it to work, don't we? This anointing will not work unless you tell the people exactly what I've told you. That's the reason every time that I minister with this anointing, I have to tell it. It won't work. See, I never even had it in manifestation until I started telling it the minute I did. Ever since then, my hands have been burning. It'll not work unless you tell the people exactly what I've told you. Tell them that you saw me. Tell them that I spoke to you. Tell them that I appeared unto you. Tell them I laid the finger of my right hand upon each one of your hands. Tell them the healing anointing's in your hands. Now then get this. Tell them that I told you to tell them if they'll believe that. Now see, there's faith again. If they will believe that. That is, he said, believe that you are anointed and will receive that anointing. Then that power will flow. Well, we want the power to flow, don't we? Then that power will flow from your hands into their body and will drive out their sickness or their disease or will effect a healing or a cure in their bodies. Now get this. I'm going to close with this. There's many other areas here, but here's what he wants me to emphasize today. He said this. Tell them that I told you to tell them. That if they'll come expecting. Now, he said, so many times such a strange wordology has been built around faith. Until it's like a barbed wire entanglement. People's got all entangled in all these words about faith. Tell them to come with no more faith than this than just to expect me to heal them through you. See, that would be faith, of course, wouldn't it? You know, wouldn't it? Now, tell them just to expect, to have no more faith in this than just to expect me to heal them through you. He said, this is the lowest level. Thank God for his mercy. He'll condescend to meet you where you are. This is the lowest level upon which one can receive their healing. Now, he didn't say that's the lowest level upon which one can be healed. I want you to notice that. Because you see, even when there's no faith, sometimes manifestations of the Holy Ghost will work. Not through you, but to you. But you didn't receive it. Here in ministry like this, you have to receive. I can't receive it for you. This is the lowest level. In other words, you can't get now any lower than this, any lower level than this to receive. To receive. For you to receive. This is the lowest level. You just think about the mercy of God. He's merciful enough to get down on the very lowest level he can to meet you.
That's right.
Think about his mercy. Think about his grace. I think about when I say that 145th Psalm 8th, 9th verse, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Oh, thank God. Thank God. He just tell them if they'll just expect. Jesus used this illustration to me. He said, now, for instance, in a particular family, you know, maybe here are children, and grandma wrote, you know, I'm coming Saturday to visit you. Well, those little children, you see, are all full of expectancy. Every time a car passes by the street, you know, down the street, they run to see if it's grandma. Just as sure as one pulls in the driveway, maybe somebody's pulling in there to back up and turn around. Just as sure as one pulls in the driveway without looking, those little kids will start hollering, Mama, Granny's here, Granny's here. See, they expect.
Amen.
Can you see that?
Amen.
Remember, it's scriptural to expect. Remember when Peter said to that man at the gate called Beautiful, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. The Bible said, the man looked upon them expecting. Why did Peter say that? To arouse his expectancy. If you don't expect to receive anything, you're wasting your time for hands to be laid on you. If you don't expect to be healed, if you just say, well, I'm going to try that and see if it works, you might as well keep your seat. Why, you could lay hands on a fellow like that until you wore every hair off the top of his head. And all he'd get out of it would be a bald head. Amen. If you don't expect, I used to ask people, I take them one by one in the line, do you expect to be healed? Well, Brother Hagin, I hope so. Well, that's not expecting, is it? When I lay hands on you, do you expect to be healed? Well, I don't really know. Well, you might as well just lay hands on them and say, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Do just as much good. And I don't mean to be sacrilegious either, but it's absolutely the truth. Absolutely true. See, we have to work because this is the lowest level on which you can receive. We have to labor then and work to get people to that place of expectancy. And some people get there easier than others do. You have to trust the Holy Ghost to help you to give the right words to get them there. That's the reason you have to deal with people sometime more than once. Get them to that place of expectancy. If they will expect, Jesus said, come. You see, in expectancy. Expect me to heal them through you. They will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.